Hello, friends. Welcome to the Happy Half Hour, and it's happier than ever because we were actually on a football field this week. We've seen grass. We touched grass, as the kids say.
We probably all needed to.
It's good to be out there on a football field and remind yourself that this is a football product that we spend so much time talking about, because for so much of the offseason, when you're at the combine and doing free agency and everything else, this feels like an abstract concept. Yeah. But then you walk out there in the sunshine and the blue skies, and Dave Canales
is putting on cleats,
jumping around, twirling his whistle and having a big old time. It's like, okay, yes, this is a football team we're talking about here, an actual tangible product. And they were tangible indeed yesterday, weren't they?
They were. They were, in fact, almost tangible completely as a team. Only three players not here. That's a pretty good attendance for the first day of voluntary minicamp in April. I think Dave Canales will take that for his first time as a head coach.
No doubt. And these things are voluntary. And the thing about attendance this time of year is you never know what's guys got going on.
Right.
I mean, people have things planned before, they realize they were coming to a team where there's a, voluntary minicamp on this particular weekend,
right. That
kind of stuff. So
more so a testament of and it's not a commentary on those who weren't here, but more so a testament to those who were.
Definitely. And I think there was an energy about the place, and a lot of that is coming from Dave Canales himself. That's kind of his calling card. It feels like that's the first word anybody says when they're asked about Dave Canales. They talk about that energy. So
did you hear Deontay Johnson yesterday, what he said?
Yeah, that was classic.
He said it was so much energy, he didn't even realize he was the head coach until after dinner.
I wondered about that, and I thought to myself when Deontay said that, who did he think he was?
Right.
Did he think he was the writer for the website? Did he think he was Podcast Matt? Did he think he was, I don't know what, but,
he was, somebody they just brought along to drive the car? Somebody.
He's the young guy. He's the coach's son or something.
Right.
I don't know.
Because I would imagine he did the bulk of the talking.
And it's interesting to me, though, because when you see Dave for the first time doing Dave things out on the football field, it's new to us.
Right.
And I was careful in knocking around yesterday talking to people about Dave's first day on the job, basically. And I asked his assistant just to Jessica Beckenstein, I said, is this more amped up? And she was like, no, the usual amount.
Yeah.
This is just who he is. And we're still getting used to Dave and learning Dave's patterns and everything like that. But some people get up for special occasions, but Dave kind of gets up to a certain caffeinated peak and then stays there for hours and hours at a time. So I respect the fact. I also am morning people. I do not get here at 4:45 in the morning the way Dave Canales does, but the alarm goes off not long after that, and we begin the day bringing you the very best product we can here at Panthers.com. But it was interesting to see it all out there in practice, because we can talk about what it looks like. We can talk about Deontay Johnson. We can talk about Robert Hunt, Damian Lewis, Austin Corbett moving to center. But when you lay eyes on them and you see it out there in the flesh,
and you see all of them together.
Right. It's like, okay, now you see the start of this plan coming together. Now you see what it's beginning to look like and realize what they've been talking about all offseason. As you stood there, Cassidy, watching this thing kind of unfold brand new for the first time, what was the first thing that jumped out at you?
Well, Jadeveon Clowney, that's also just because he's large and he was right there near us. He was also the only outside linebacker really going through drills, because he was the only one that was here and healthy and able to do so. But you almost got the sense, too, that if push came to shove, Jadeveon Clowney could take care of outside linebacker for this team by single-handedly, even in his 30s.
He was definitely moving around well, and he seems, we talk about Dave's energy. He's got a little rejuvenated vibe about him. We noticed that when he came in right after signing, and we were talking to him and filming some stuff for the website, that kind of thing. You could tell he was excited. You could tell he felt it. But I get the sense that last year was kind of a boost for him, because after so long, the weight of expectations when you're a number one pick kind of bears down on you, and you wonder if you're ever going to get back to being that guy again.
Right.
And last year in Baltimore, 9.5 sacks in regular season, another one in the playoffs, he was that guy again last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he was such a central component of the work they were doing defensively. But there's still along those lines, when you look out there with DJ Wonnum still kind of working his way back from an injury last year, it's an incomplete group right now on defense. And it's also brand new because we got conditioned to seeing certain things over the tail end of last year. And then you look out on the field and there's A'shaun Robinson and he's new.
Right.
And there's Josie Jewell and he's new. And he's next to Shaq Thompson, who's not new, but wasn't out there a whole lot last year.
Right.
And then there's Jadavion, and then there's Dane Jackson, and then there's
Jordan Fuller
in the back, and you realize this is a brand-new group.
And Nick Scott, which I know is technically a defensive back, but was really brought in for his special teams prowess. Yeah. And at one point they were running a punt drill, and you remember I even said to you, who is that calling the play?
Yeah.
And we looked out there, and it was Nick Scott.
That's number 21, your new personal protector, Nick Scott. So
that's
going to be one of those hidden wrinkles over the course of this year. Nick Scott, who has a career reception from Johnny Hecker. So we are definitely looking forward to putting that one into play. But as I looked out there, and again, this was such a topic for so much of the conversation, but when you see that interior offensive line together, you understand Austin Corbett is not a small man.
Right.
Austin Corbett is a large human being by any metric that mortals have available to them. When you see Damian Lewis and Robert Hunt on either side of him, it's like, that's different.
Yeah.
Those two guys are not like the one in the middle, and Austin is merely huge, and they are gigantic.
Yeah.
And that is on purpose, kids.
And to kind of go along with that, we heard from both Canales and a little bit of Bryce yesterday, too, talking about how yesterday was they were going back down to the bare basics with both Bryce and Andy Dalton of, how to take your quarterback stance and to see around these large linemen, which is going to be something that Canales has talked about is going to be something he has to work with Bryce because he is on the – what did he call it? Vertically challenged or height challenged or something like that?
He's not tall.
Not tall. And now you've got these huge guys. And so it's, even learning something as basic as what stance to get in to see the whole field from that pocket.
Yep.
And so he's very, very detailed. And Bryce got the baptism by fire in that yesterday, kind of going back to quarterback school, as they called it.
Yeah, I like the fact that Dave called it quarterback school. And they are beginning – They're making no assumptions about these people, basically. I mean,
right.
He talked about Will Herringer, the quarterback's coach, teaching Andy Dalton how to get into a stance properly. And I'm sure Andy's thinking,
thanks, I've been doing this for a little while.
I appreciate that. Andy's a pro. He's here for a reason. But and also has great hair, as Dave Canales helpfully pointed out
he
while mic'd up.
Best
yesterday.
Hair in the league other than Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But Mahomes isn't red, right?
Yeah. So the red hair pushes it over the top. But it's interesting to see. I mean, and that's kind of the way Dave's been putting this thing together in terms of the on-field product. He's being very intentional. He's starting at the beginning, making no assumptions, and basically creating a brand-new product. We get caught talking about things in the context of what happened last year. And this is a brand-new product. This is completely different. And Bryce, it's easy for Bryce to say, hey, I'm focused on this year. Don't want to spend any time thinking about last year. Because last year was a disaster for everybody that was involved in it. So I understand not wanting to talk about it. But this is going to be a brand new product. So from new receivers and new spots and, people are talking about Deontay Johnson's going to be the first read on almost every play. So far, that group is still very much under construction and is probably going to change in the next 4 or 5 days. We'll see how all that kind of goes. But it was instructive to kind of see the way they're approaching everything on the field from a very building block, very step one sort of standpoint. And again, good to see that group on the field together as a unit after we've been talking about them all season.
Let me ask you a question.
Hit me.
And really this is a question for Dave Canales, but I'm going to ask you.
Dave Canales and I have many things in common besides the fact that we're both morning people.
Right. I'm sure you can put yourself in his shoes.
And extremely caffeinated. Yeah.
You have to be if you're going to get up that early.
See, like Dave Canales and Pete Carroll, I got a workout in before this podcast, as far as you know.
As far as who's going to tell you you're wrong?
Exactly. Nobody. There are pictures of me working out at some point.
I'm sure. Anyways.
At any rate.
So Canales yesterday talked about how this was the same quarterback school that he's put all of his quarterbacks through. Russell Wilson, Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield. We've seen what became of that. consistently three of their, like all three quarterbacks had their best career seasons, or with Russell, one of, you know, his second best, but still, we saw like five Pro Bowls, comeback player of the year for Geno, a comeback player of the year nomination for Baker. And so we've seen it have success. Do you think it will be those, but here's the, what is the difference between those three guys and Bryce Young?
They're all more established at the time he's getting to them.
So that's my question. Yeah. Do you think it will be easier or more difficult to take a second-year quarterback through this quote-unquote quarterback school, or would it have been – because with an established player, on one hand, they're already – they already have habits, and it's probably harder to break them of those. But at the, on the second hand, they already have seen a lot of NFL defenses.
Yeah. The one thing I know about Bryce, I've kind of picked up from, and it's not anything anybody's necessarily said, it's just from watching him and observing, Bryce ain't scared to learn. Mm-hmm. Bryce ain't scared to put in the work to improve on things. I mean, he's constantly asking for feedback. He's talking to coaches on the side and afterward about, you know, how he can do different things. That was last year, and that's going through this year. He, when I talked to him the other day, he was very clear about wanting to continue to do that work, wanting to continue to improve on the football stuff. Now, he also talked about wanting to improve as a leader. So I think that's going to be a twofold thing for Canales. I mean, and along those lines, he doesn't have the same background that Russ, Geno, Baker, and those guys all had when they got to this job. But he is still almost an unshaped piece of clay and from the standpoint of Dave Canales. So he gets to work with something fresh. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how all that turns out.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I did have one more observation for him yesterday before we move on. And you could speak to this maybe even a little bit more because you saw these guys last year before the season started. By the time I got to them, there was a lot of...
They were broken?
They were just weighed down, yes, broken, and just, you know, kind of like, oh, let's just get this over with. Obviously, that was a much different vibe yesterday. Even like we saw Bryce bounce in there and make jokes about basketball and hold his own little press conference, vice versa.
Yeah.
Asking everybody all the
Bryce
questions.
Rolls up and starts asking us questions. Right. Hey, what do you guys do in the off season? I'll let you know when we have one.
What else does your job do? But there was one unit that kind of stood out to me, and that was the running back unit and kind of just how they were – handling themselves and their vibe, and especially with Chuba Hubbard. And one, it was kind of fun to just see he and Bernie Parmalee have kind of already established their little like sideshow, like ribbing each other and kind of staying on each other, but in a fun way. And but then also every time Parmalee would teach something, Chuba would then turn around and make sure the other guys had it and kind of go over it again with them while Parmalee got something set up. Which is, seems like very, very much he's embracing, okay, this is who I have to be in this unit.
Yeah, one of the really understated things about last year, and it was easy for things to slip under the radar with the way last year went, but for Chuba Hubbard to start the year as a backup and end up running for 900 yards and catching 39 balls for a team that was always, always behind is a minor miracle for a couple of reasons. Number one, it was hard for them to run because they were always behind. And number two, Chuba was not a natural catcher of the football last year. And through the sheer force of repetition and hard work, he has turned himself into a competent pass catcher. So I've got all the respect in the world for the job Chuba's done kind of growing into this role. And it's not as if he's there just because Miles Sanders didn't have the year people thought he was going to have last year. He's earned this. He has made this his own and kind of staked out that area as the lead back in this situation. So I'm encouraged to see what Chuba's done, and I think it's been impressive. That's what you want out of fourth-round picks. That's what you want out of anybody is take the stuff you're bad at, get better at it, improve, keep working.
Do you think if – properly used behind this offensive line, could Chuba Hubbard be a top 10 back in this league?
I don't know. I don't know. I get the impression that this is always going to be a little bit committee-based. Mm-hmm. I don't think Chuba is so far and away, you know, physically dominant that he's going to be that guy. He's not ever going to be a 300-carry-a-year guy or anything like that. But I think he is absolutely a quality starter in the league. I mean, he's shown that he's got long speed every now and then. He can break one. he's shown over the last couple of years that he's a capable interior runner. So I don't want to put a ceiling on what he might or might not be, but I'm just impressed with how far he's come in 3 years so far in terms of making that job his own.
Makes next year exciting to watch.
No doubt, no doubt. And we'll have more to watch today when we go out there. We are coming to you live on a taped basis. It's like one of those old sitcoms, taped live in front of a studio audience. And there is your dated pop culture reference for today that nobody else in this room gets.
Hey, that's the sitcoms I used to watch when I was a kid were always filmed in front of a live studio
fair.
Audience.
I'll accept that. So
Friends, Everybody Loves Raymond, Family Matters.
I appreciate that. So anyway, we will get back on the field here in a little bit later on this morning. And then we will sit around all day on Thursday waiting.
And that is going to be exactly what we do.
Yeah, I think we will probably just spend our time listening to Taylor Swift records over and over, something like that. It'll
be exciting.
Tortured beat writers department, something
we'll have
like
so
that.
Much time is that we can go through all 31 songs once. And then we can go through them again as I give you the background of each song.
So this is going to be like after a football game when the coach says, well, I got to look at the film before I can break that down.
Right. I've done the film study. I am ready.
You're prepared for this.
Yes.
You're a Swiftie.
We are going to be sitting in literature class as we go through each song.
This is going to be interesting to me because I was thinking about this and I lobbed a grenade in the foxhole and ran with some of the criticism of Taylor Swift's album the other day. I didn't realize what a passionate defense I was going to get. It would be like somebody rolling up on me and saying, you know, Darren, I think Bojangles kind of overrated. I didn't realize what I was starting, but you can go on and on about this.
I'll take 15 seconds because I can go on and on, but I'll take 15 seconds to say this. I have no problem with criticism of the work. Everybody has their own taste in music, and she's done this across like four different genres now, so it's not going to be for everybody all the time. I do think this album was more for the fans than it's not for the Grammys or the critics, but whatever. But my issue with like the review that you sent me is more so about the person than the music. And it's like, let's just review the music. If this is what we're doing, let's just review the music. Okay, I'm done.
One of the things that's interesting to me about Taylor Swift, and I don't know if you people are aware of this, but I am an older person. I am aware of her presence. I am not very familiar with her work.
You more than you realize.
I've heard it, and it's been like background music, and I'm aware of it in a general sense, but I don't know anything about this person other than she's had a lot of boyfriends and a lot of relationships, and most of them end poorly.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you be able to say that about all of your relationships except the ones that are a success? That's just in general, not you. That's any person.
Yeah. I thank God there's no Darren Gant Tortured Poets album.
I imagine there could be. I'm sure there are some stories.
Yes, no thank you. This would be a very different podcast with a very different clientele.
My point was,
you've
probably heard a song and not realized it because she writes a lot of songs that other people record.
That's fair. And we'll have a lot of time to get into that while we wait and wait and wait on
We've
Thursday.
We've already gone off the track.
And again, that's kind of the way this week is because we're over here on football, and then there's going to be that, you know, waiting period where nothing's going on, but we're anticipating a lot of stuff. And we do have some cool stuff. I will encourage you to stay tuned to Panthers.com throughout the entire week because we've got a lot of good stuff lined up. And once we get to Friday, after we wait through Thursday and watching 32 teams make picks and do their thing and have fun and introduce new people, then the Carolina Panthers are on the clock from about 11 o'clock Thursday night until 7 o'clock Friday when this thing kicks off. Yeah. We'll have a lot of time to break down what could happen. And as you look at this thing, Casty, you're probably like me and have looked at a million mock drafts to the point you're mock drafted out. What's it going to be?
I think we see a receiver early on. I think they stay pat at 33 and 39. I think they would have. That's not to say that they couldn't trade up and or trade back, but I think if they do, that those will be phone calls coming from outside the building. I don't think Dan Morgan's making those calls to try to trade. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it is. I get the sense from being around Dan, watching Dan over the course of the years, that Dan's going to be a little tighter with his resources. He wants to make sure he's got those picks. And I think there is a value you know, again, not ideal not having a first-round pick, but 33 and 39 gives you two of the top 40.
Right.
And I think he kind of wants to exercise those picks. He wants to add people of that kind of quality to this roster. So, you know, if somebody wants to call, I guess you listen. But just over the course of the years, there hasn't been terribly much value in that. That
right.
pick's only been traded three times in the last 25 drafts. And basically,
33?
Yeah, the 33rd pick has been traded three times in the last 25 years. And the biggest haul anybody's gotten has been move back a couple spots in the second and get an extra third round next year.
Yeah.
And that's not really the kind of game-changing, you know, payoff
right.
that I think a lot of people are expecting. There are people who just blithely say, oh, they should trade back, of course, and add more assets without realizing what those assets actually are. And I don't know that they're in that three dimes better than a quarter situation here where, you know, I just think with where this roster is right now, they're better served seeing what's there, what's available to them. There's going to be someone who can start for this team at 33. There's
yeah.
probably somebody who can start for this team at 39
uh-huh.
and maybe at 65. To me, that's a stay put and see what you can get.
Right.
If you need fiber, if you need to move back, then you've got 101, 141, 142. And somewhere in there, you can move around and try to add some later picks, if later picks is the thing you need.
Right.
But I think this is a very much a quality rather than quantity kind of situation.
And then to that point, I think that because of where the draft classes, or where the unit classes kind of fall in this draft, I know that the thinking is like, okay, go receiver and go interior lineman early. I think they did a lot to kind of work on that interior line. Obviously, they still need some depth there, and they need to be looking to the future, of course. But I don't think it's as much of an immediate need as it was 2 months ago.
Right.
And so I wouldn't be surprised if they go receiver and then edge rusher.
Yeah, I think they're kind of at a point, and I have hesitated getting down in the weeds of this guy versus this guy or particular names. Or, you know, we can't make these positions monolithic and say just position because it's got to be about a particular guy. I just think where this roster is right now, when you're on the clock at 33, if there is a – inside linebacker, if there is a cornerback, if there is a pass rusher, if there is a receiver that is sticking out a big chunk right. on your board above everybody else, I think you just do it. I think everybody's hung up on receiver and locked in at 33 because that's been the most talked about thing, but I think it's just one of a number of needs. Of course, they're going to address it at some point this weekend. It'll be a huge surprise if they come out of the weekend without receivers, plural. But at the same time, I don't think they have to do any particular thing at 33. So if it's the pass rusher, as you mm-hmm. said, I think cornerback is a place that needs to be addressed.
Right.
You know, they like Dane Jackson as somebody who can come in and start opposite J.C. Horn, but you need another corner.
Right.
We've seen that over and over during the years of you've got to have four of those guys over the course of the year.
Right.
So I just think they could go a number of ways. That's why I'm hesitant, and it may sound like a cop-out, like I don't want to say any particular name, but I just think there are so many ways to go, it's impossible for them to lock in on any one spot.
And they have a little bit of a luxury of the fact that receiver and lineman are deeper classes here. Edge rusher, corner, they're not as deep, I would argue, in this class, and I'm probably – somebody's going to send me something to prove that's wrong. But you almost want to take – one of those positions earlier because you're going to get more bang for your buck there where you can still get bang right. for your buck taking a receiver or a lineman a little bit later.
Yeah.
I don't think I would take a receiver later than 60. It's 65, right? That's
65.
That's waiting way too late for what you need this receiver to do.
Yeah.
But I mean, that doesn't have to be what's done at 33.
Yeah. All right. Inside the draft room, what's Kesty Hill's secret for a successful draft? When you're up all night Thursday and Friday and Saturday, what's the one thing that nobody knows happens behind the scenes
Ooh.
That you have to have?
Well, I started with a venti iced coffee from Starbucks. You just got to hit it off with that. And
what
then,
does venti mean? Is that large?
Venti is like the largest one.
Okay, large.
I'm going to send you a Paul Rudd clip about this. And then from there to just kind of get through the night, I go with super, super healthy Diet Dr. Pepper and Nerds gummy clusters. That keeps me kind of going, that artificial sugar.
Yeah, I have a very strict and preset draft weekend diet. I basically eat whatever's in front of me.
Right.
All weekend long. And lots and lots of coffee, you know, heavily caffeinated, whatever food passes in front of my face, it's like, yes, I will eat that. Chicken finger, sure. Barbecue sauce, yeah, okay, whatever. I mean, that's just, you know, we can want to do certain things. We can want to be healthy. But the reality is we're going to be trapped in a windowless room all weekend long, bringing you the latest on Panthers.com. But we do it for the people. We do it for you, the listeners of the Happy Half Hour and the readers of Panthers.com.
If anybody wants to send some gummy clusters up here, they'll be appreciated.
So Diet Dr. Pepper, gummy clusters, or whatever they throw in the trough for Darren. Once we get on the other side of that, we will see you again post-draft here on the Happy Half Hour.
Bye.